This is WGNS Action Line. Action Line. Talking with Rutherford County newsmakers for 78 years.
Since 1947.
It's how my day begins.
Reporting the news.
It's how this day begins.
This is WGNS Action Line. Now, your host, Scott Walker.
In studio with us this morning, we have Dr. Liz Barnes, Associate Professor of Biology Education. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. How are you today?
I'm good. So tell us a little bit about what you do.
Yeah, so I am a biology education researcher, which means, like other professors, I teach biology classes, but also on the research side, instead of, you know, being in the lab at a wet bench studying chemicals or mice, I study the students in our biology classes, right? And I try to figure out how we can teach them biology in a way that benefits their education the most.
What do you enjoy most about that, and how has the study of biology changed over the years?
Well, what I enjoy about it most is doing research that then I can see immediately enacted in my classes or in other people's classes that improve students' experience and get them excited about science. And you know, the way that, you know, my field has changed the most over the last decade or two is really a focus on education that's more active for students. So some people might have remembered a college biology class where they're sitting there and a professor sits at the front and talks for an hour.
I remember that.
Yes, and goes over what seems about a million slides. But this day and age, what our research is showing is that getting students active in their learning is what's most effective for getting them to understand biology better. So having them work on case studies and groups together to figure out like an interesting and relevant issue to their life, or getting them to talk to each other about their reasoning of biology as they're learning. So a lot of our field has worked towards how do we incorporate these activities to make the classroom a more engaging and interesting place for students to build their knowledge of biology.
That's really good to hear, because my goal was to try not to fall asleep usually.
Which is such a shame, because biology is such a fascinating topic.
It
right?
is, like, it really is.
How could that not be interesting?
I know. Yeah. When you were in college, was that one of your goals too? Or was it interesting for you when you were going through those steps to get to where you are today?
Yeah, so biology has always been absolutely fascinating to me. I mean, the idea that all of life on Earth, you know, is related to one another, the vast intricacies that we see and what it takes to like make something alive and thrive in the world is just fascinating to me. So for me, even when professors were up waxing and waning for an hour, I was still very much engaged. But the thing is as a professor, and what a lot of professors don't realize is we're not the average student, right? Like the average student is not going to become a professor, is not so obsessed with this area as we are. And so we have to reach out to them and find what's relevant and interesting to them.
And when you look at different aspects of teaching, I'm curious, has AI played a role in any of this today, or has AI played a role in studies today in some way within biology?
Yeah, so I mean, AI plays a huge role in biology and in the classroom. I mean, in the discipline of biology, for instance, artificial intelligence has recently been used to like crack the code on proteins and like how a DNA sequence actually will lead to a specific shape of a protein, which was something that we didn't know for a really, really long time. It took a long time to figure out what shape of a protein was. Now with AI, we have databases that just you can put in a DNA sequence and it just like tells you what that shape of that protein is, which is amazing. In the classroom, you know, there comes challenges because we have to start now giving assignments that students can't just use AI to figure out, right? But it also comes with a lot of really awesome opportunities for students too, because we can teach them how to use artificial intelligence as a tool for their learning, not to replace their learning, but to actually enhance it. So for instance, one of the things that I study is how do we teach students how to have productive conversations about contentious topics in society that are related to biology, like vaccines or climate change, for instance, or evolution is another big one in biology. And AI can be a really cool tool to have them practice those conversations with people in a way that is low stakes and isn't so scary for them before they go and they they do it out in the real world, right? So that's a way that they can use AI that enhances their learning rather than just replaces it, like, you know, what some of us are seeing with other assignments.
I know you mentioned vaccines. It seems like that's always a hot topic of debate and conversation. Mm-hmm. Do you find that true as well on the college campus?
You know, I would say that on the college campus, just like in society, we have a diversity of views and experiences and perspectives about these topics, right? I think in biology, we do tend to have more students that are pro-vaccine and don't have a lot of concerns about them, but we also have students that have concerns about vaccines, or and they don't know how they work, and they might have conceptions about what vaccines might do to harm our bodies that aren't entirely accurate, but are relevant, you know, and understandable given their experiences. So yeah, we do see it. It is also something that's contentious on college campuses.
Now, you were recently in Minnesota, or you're part of a grant that's tied to Minnesota. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah. So I currently am the lead of a research coordination network grant. So what that is it's a grant that gets together researchers across the nation to try to work together on a hard problem that we have right now that we need a solution to. And in this case, we're meeting together to talk about how we help students understand how to communicate better about science, and particularly about these hard topics that are societally relevant, like climate change, vaccines, and evolution. Because right now, scientists who, you know, are doing great work and really trying to push forward science that benefits society is awesome, but they don't get training in how to talk to people about these things, right? And a lot of us now wish that we had that training, especially in modern days when we're seeing these deep divides about vaccines, which are so important for public health, or climate change, which might be really important for us to mitigate for the health of the environment in the future. And so our solution in this network is to try to help undergraduate students get that training super early on in their career. So then we're not just capturing future scientists, right? We're also capturing future healthcare providers, teachers, policymakers, future religious leaders, to equip them with some of these tools to be more effective communicators.
So this will give them the tools to put a lot of this hard information into layman's terms so that everybody can get a better grasp of it.
Well, that's the first step, you know, and I think that even scientists, that's the one thing they tend to think that they need to do to be effective communicators. Like, let's stop using these really big words that nobody understands and try to communicate in a simplistic way. But actually, it's about a lot more than that, because another thing that we've seen in, you know, the scientific community that hasn't always been effective is that we often take this authoritative stance. We use messaging that's one way, right? So we make advertisements, or we get on the news and we kind of say what our view is, and then kind of think that this is what everybody should think and accept. But really, what's effective is more of a two-way dialogue with society, right? So going out and talking to people about what their views are, what their perspectives are. If somebody has concerns about vaccines, why do they have those concerns, right? And what can we do to assuage those concerns, right? If somebody doesn't think that climate change is an important issue, why don't they? Maybe it's because they have other priorities that they are taking into account. And how can we work to meet both those priorities that people have, as well as the priority of you know, keeping our environment safe and healthy?
It sounds like you almost have to become a politician in a sense, because you have to approach everybody with a certain, I guess, candor and say, hey, you know, this is what we're believing and thinking. This is the direction that, you know, X plus Z is headed. I mean, you almost have to take this underhanded approach when talking with folks.
Yeah, I mean, and I think in a lot of ways, that's just that's a part of life, right? A part of having dialogue with other people and being able to come to shared perspectives where we're working together to meet all of our concerns and needs, right? And so in some ways, my vision and the network's vision is to create the next generation of scientists and citizens, right, that are more about dialogue with one another, more about listening to one another, taking each other's experiences and perspectives seriously, seriously and trying to work together towards a shared vision rather than, you know, the division that we're seeing in society right now and more of these factions of people that are not working together to solve these societal issues.
Are you finding that really hard when you are passionate about something like this?
I think a lot of people do find it really hard when they're passionate about a topic and they think that it's really important to themselves and to society to not get, you know, emotional or find it difficult to talk to people that have different views than them. But this is exactly why our network is trying to work together to figure out how to train people and students specifically how to have these conversations. Because the more and more that we see, you know, the internet having this new information environment where everybody can just find the people that they agree with, right? And then demonize the people that they disagree with. More and more this is happening with this new information environment that we have. And so figuring out how to get people to talk to each other, right? One of the big things is just getting people to have conversations with other people they disagree with.
Yeah.
Right? When you talk to students and even, I mean, just people in society, and you ask them, when's the last time that you had a productive conversation with somebody that didn't share the same view as you about something that you're passionate about?
Again, with us this morning, Dr. Liz Barnes, Associate Professor of Biology Education at MTSU. And where can people learn more about you, about some of the different issues you've talked about? Where can people learn more?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have a website, the Social Perceptions of Science Lab. And if you look that up with my name, Liz Barnes, then there's a lot of information on my research lab and what we do. The Science Communication Education Research Network. We're going to have an MTSU news story that's going to be released for that. So once that is released, then people can find more information about the network there as well.
Sounds great. Well, thank you for joining us this morning.
All right. Thank you so much.
Again, Dr. Liz Barnes, Associate Professor of Biology Education at MTSU.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
This is Peter Demas, and our family's inviting your family to come eat with us at Demas's restaurant. Demas's has had a bar when we opened 35 years ago, and we've done the exact same thing with our bar menu that we've done with our food menu. We get higher quality items, higher quality cocktails. Again, some people just want a drink with their meal, where they might be able to get a drink to complement their meals. You need to check it out, so come on over right now. Demas's Restaurant on Northwest Broad Street.
Big benefits at Adams Place.
We have a driver who's here from 8 to 4. He will take you anywhere you need to go.
That's Charlotte Gardner.
It's really a big plus getting around when you do not drive.
Move to Adams Place and leave the driving to us.
Hi, this is Terry Deal at Adams Place. Call me for more information about Adams Place. Phone 615-904-9111.
On Memorial.
Across from Walmart.